Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, everyone. This is the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jan Jaffe, and I'm your host. Today we're discussing confidence, and I'm delighted to be joined by two of my favorite co-hosts, Charissa Sebastian and Kathy Aquino, with whom I've had the pleasure of working a number of times. Welcome to Think Tank. As I mentioned, my name is Jan Jaffe, and I'm a graduate of Northwestern University, from which I hold both my bachelor's and master's degrees. I'm also proud to be an IPEC-certified professional coach, Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner, and a core well-being dynamics specialist. I had a successful international career as a concert and opera singer and voice and masterclass teacher, which was cut short by traumatic brain injury. The TBIs, as they're called, drastically altered my life. I lost language for 6 weeks and was thrilled after 4 months when I was finally able to walk with the aid of a walker. My recovery took many, many years and was extremely difficult, but as a result, I've come to discover many things about myself and life, namely, what it is to lose oneself, definition, career, and purpose in life and feel totally lost, that there is great strength in vulnerability, that there can be great opportunity and challenge, strengths I had never known I had, the true meaning of resiliency, and that I'm very good at picking myself up, dusting myself off, and hurling myself forward. With Forward to Success, I am dedicated to helping professional women achieve optimal success, realization of their potential, and passion, purpose, life balance, and well-being in every aspect of their lives. You can contact me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. Most of us have heard that confidence is fundamental to success in life, whether in relationships, business, or career. What is it about confidence that makes it the holy grail of personality traits? And why is it that some people find it easier than others to exude this often elusive quality, and still others confuse it with narcissism or even arrogance? For some, finding confidence and embracing it can be a lifetime effort. These are all topics we will examine today. Again, welcome to Think Tank. Our show today is entitled Confidence and Its Imposters. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce my co-host. Charissa, please tell our listening audience a little about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jen. My name is Charissa Sebastian, and I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women and a speaker and a writer and also the co-owner of Stop, Smile, Breathe Women's Retreats. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. And I also wanted to let all of you know that you can find out more about what I do on my website at www.charissasebastian.com, or you can find out more about our retreats at stopsmilebreathe.com. And we actually have one coming up on the 8th of August in the Dallas area, and the topic is actually confidence. So thank you so much, Jan.
Thank you, Charissa. And, you know, to our listening audience, definitely check this out, because Charissa and her retreats, the group that she works with, the ladies she works with, are really magnificent. And this is a topic that Charissa knows a great deal about. So thank you so much, Charissa. And Kathy, now please introduce yourself.
Thanks, Jan. I'm so glad to be here today with you and Charissa. It's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it, and welcome to our audience. I'm Kathy Aquino, owner of coaching and consulting. My practice is called Courage to Lead. I'm a certified life coach, and I help people with patient advocacy for themselves or someone else. I also have another area of specialty. I also coach small business owners who are not profitable or feel overwhelmed. Both of these areas require leadership. Patient advocacy requires a degree of leadership, and many people have difficulty doing that with their own health or in the face of the medical power structure. And I have a wide familiarity and use of alternative medicine, and I'm familiar with the benefits and drawbacks of Western medicine. I also help people, as small business owners, lots of them that are in very small businesses, perhaps just an entrepreneur, many times in health-related or service industries, doulas, midwives, photographers, and they may be really terrific at what they do, but they don't always have all the business skills they need, and so I kind of help them with that. And one of the areas I noticed that many of my clients have difficulty is the topic that we're talking about today, confidence. Many of them they're great at what they do, but they lack a little bit of confidence. So this is a very apropos topic that I found for coaches to help people with. I have a master's degree in education, 20 years teaching health and advocacy, and certification through the highly respected Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. I've worked not only as a paid advocate, but also with family members, including my husband, as he battles cancer. I love working with people that want to make changes and helping them regain a sense of control in their health or business, and I can be contacted at www.courtolead.com. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Kathy. And again, I would really like to invite our listeners to contact Kathy Aquino if there is something that you feel that she would be great to work with you on, because she is so excellent in what she does. Both of my co-hosts, I'm so excited and proud to be here with them. So before we go on, I would like to invite our listeners to call in with any questions or comments. We welcome your calls, your questions, comments, and contribution to the discussion. We love your participation. The number here to call to speak with us is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. So confidence is a word that is often tossed around in personal growth literature, discussions, advice given by parents, therapists, coaches, teachers, friends, etc. You get the idea. Everyone uses this term, and everyone thinks it's a good quality to have. But what is confidence exactly, and why is it so easy for some people to wear and almost an impossible, elusive quality for others to grasp or achieve? Is there some sort of magic confidence recipe we can cook up and add to our persona? Just what exactly is confidence, and what are some strategies for authentically creating it? Charissa, would you mind starting us off?
Sure, absolutely. And those are some great questions, Jen. You got right to the heart of the issue there. I'd like to start off by kind of giving you a definition, I guess. You know, what I believe is actually self-esteem and then self-confidence. So self-esteem is the value that you see yourself having in the world as it's related to your own personal value and your sense of self-worth. And then your self-confidence is your belief that you can succeed at something, your belief in your abilities. Now, obviously, those two go hand in hand, because if you have the self-esteem and the value, and you realize the personal value and your self-worth, then it's a lot more, it's a lot easier for you to step into that space of self-confidence and believe in your ability to do something. So, confidence as a whole is something that you definitely can, you can grow in yourself, and it's not something that we have as a result of our past or our upbringing and all of that. Now, of course, that contributes to it, but it's also about what do you feed yourself, what do you tell yourself. So there can be, we all have different upbringings and different beliefs and all of that, and all of that is going to really determine your confidence and what you choose to tell yourself. So, yes, we can definitely have more confidence and create more confidence and all of that and work on it so that we do get better in that area. It's just a matter of believing in yourself and your value. And there's from a coaching perspective, there's many, many exercises and things that we can do. Just as an example, one of the exercises that I really love is to write down a list of your accomplishments. This is really simple. It just takes a couple of minutes. But sit down and write a list of all of those things that you are grateful for, that you've achieved, all of those things that maybe at the time you didn't think you could do it, but you've overcome those challenges and you were able to get things done. And all of those things that you're proud of yourself for, you know, the person that you are, write those down and constantly feed that to yourself in addition to affirmations, telling yourself that you're confident, telling yourself that, you know, that you're valued and really just loving yourself, taking care of yourself, taking time to relax, do things that make you happy. So I know that's a lot, and I hope I kind of answer the question for you, Jen.
Oh, I love that. You certainly did, and you said so much here. First of all, the way that you differentiate between self-esteem and confidence. And that's the first time I've ever actually heard that, and it's wonderful because self-esteem seems to be based on almost on facts and history, and obviously something that you know is true for you, and something that we work at to build that self-esteem. But that confidence seems to be almost more of a spiritual value or a spiritual asset because it's based around belief. If I'm correct in understanding what you were saying. And I also loved your just these wonderful tips for building confidence and building self-esteem, being writing a list of your accomplishments, things you've overcome, things you're proud of, affirmations, and then how self-care, which is very tied into all of this. So I just love that. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem.
Did I get clearly the differentiation you made between self-esteem and confidence?
Yeah, that was beautifully summarized, Jen. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you. Kathy, how about you? Do you have anything to add?
I hope you do
to this whole discussion.
No, I totally agree with Charissa. And, you know, confidence is a strong belief in yourself and your abilities, and it is totally buildable. So if somebody is listening to this program today because the topic drew you, and it may have drawn you because you would like more of it, be encouraged about that. It's certainly something that you can grow. As you were talking, I thought of, you know, probably all of us can think back to really early in life, perhaps elementary school memories, and think, I remember kids that seemed really confident and kids that, you know, didn't in the whole range. And already at that age of life, and certainly, you know, Charissa touched on this, there's going to be different experiences and backgrounds from our own home life and our personalities. And so, so the kids that don't have as much of it, maybe they didn't get some of these things nurtured, but you can always build it in any time in your life. And I found several different, I've read some books on this because I love the topic, and I have some favorite things that I wanted to share. There's a psychologist, her name is Marcy G. Fox, and she just summed this up very succinctly. She said, confidence is essential to making it in life. It enables us to reach our goals, try new things, and stand independently. It protects us from stress and equips us to face life's challenges. In the purest sense, confidence is knowing what you're good at, the value you provide, and acting in a way that conveys it to others, which is pretty much how Charissa had summed it up. Mm. And then the book, I love this book. Katie Kay is one of the authors, and the title is The Confidence Code. And this is about growing more confidence, and how do you do that? And she has a whole book, but just to sum it up a little bit in what she said, she says, confidence is about the actions you take, not the postures you strike. Having confidence is taking action. We all want to do or try certain things, but fear they are just beyond our reach, and yet we worry about failing. Those nerves are normal. Everyone has them. The difference between a confident person and an unconfident person is simply that the confident person acts on their ambitions and desires, and they don't let that fear of failure stop them. And this becomes a cycle. The more we act, the more our confidence grows. So if you're someone out there that has struggled with this a little bit, you start with a mini challenge. You know, don't start with the biggest thing you have. My suggestion would be start with a small thing and start this cycle of, you know, taking on small challenges, make a little bit of action, see what happens, and repeat. Even when you fail, every book I've read about this, even when you feel like you have failed at whatever your task was, you have learned, you've developed a muscle just like an exercise, and it will forward you in your action.
Oh, I love that. My goodness, I'm going to ask you to repeat the name of the book in a moment, or both authors, but the fact of taking action helps you get beyond your fears or face your fears. And there is a school of thought that one of the predecessors to confidence is fearlessness. However, what you're saying is, what these authors are saying is that a way to kind of deal with both at the same time is to take action. So you're facing your fear, and at the same time, that creates confidence.
Mm-hmm. It develops. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a muscle, like you said. I love that. Thank you so much. Would you mind repeating? excuse me. Would you mind repeating for our audience the name of the books, right? Or it's two authors?
Yeah, it's books, and it's called The Confidence Code, and it has a long subtitle, and I can't remember what it is right now after that, so don't be thrown off by that, but the title itself is The Confidence Code. The author is Katie Kay, and I believe the other author's name is Claire Shipman. I just didn't write it down right at this moment, but I believe that was her name. So Code by Katie Kay, and I believe it's Claire Shipman.
Claire Shipman. Thank you so much for that. And we actually have a caller, so I'm opening up the lines to your number ends in 2606. Let me see if I can get them in. Hello, 2606, are you there?
I am, and I'd appreciate it if you know who I am, not to reveal my identity.
Okay, I know who you are. How are
you? So I want to share something kind of personal that may be relevant.
Okay.
When I was recently divorced in between wives, I dated a woman who was a vice president of a large national women's organization who exuded a great deal of confidence. And I learned a great lesson from her. And the lesson I learned, she told me that when she had been recently divorced and her confidence was flagging, that she tended to sleep around quite a bit. And until she realized that the reason she was doing that is she was just afraid to face herself in the evening when she went to bed. She was unable to face herself and comfortably go to sleep and be with herself. And she said when she got over that and developed enough self-confidence so that she could go to sleep by herself, that was a great breakthrough for her. And it was a wonderful lesson for me. So I thought that might be of interest to you.
That's very interesting. Thank you for that. It sounds almost, I have two things I want to say about that. I'm not sure if it sounds like what was being brought into that inability to sleep alone was maybe some sort of anxiety about being left alone with herself without, you know, the sense of confidence that she could be on her own. Is that what you think she meant by that?
That's what I understood.
Right.
When I met her, she certainly was an extremely confident person.
Mm. And
so apparently she had made this transition.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds also like, you know, sometimes with these breakups or these endings, it can shatter one's confidence and self-esteem. But also, I'm wondering how that affected you. You said it affected you.
It was a great lesson to me because I felt that I needed to learn that lesson also. And in fact, try to develop that level of self-confidence and have my own comfort.
How did you work at building your own self-confidence?
I think the primary issue is accepting yourself for what you are. Even with all the warts. But kind of so, liking yourself.
Uh-huh. So it sounds kind of like there is some self-awareness going on there, of just awareness in general, and then acceptance.
Yeah.
And then, and, you know, some...
You know, when you've been rejected in a relationship, everything seems you are so excessively aware of all of your faults, and they seem so much bigger.
Right. No, that's true. That is so true. And that's what's so difficult about relationships ending and battering our self-esteem and our confidence. Do any of my co-hosts want to get into this conversation at all?
This is Kathy. Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I think that's a terrific point. And you could be, as Jan said, anybody could have their confidence shattered potentially at any time, even very confident people. And I suspect what might happen is, as you mentioned, you know, our caller mentioned that, you know, in this case, if you're rejected from a divorce or a breakup, you're going to probably feel yourself hurt and feel shattered, your confidence shattered in the area of relationships or attractiveness or, you know, your self-worth in that area. Perhaps if you were fired, you might feel a confidence lacking in your ability to get another job and your worth in your employment status. So certainly the hurt that you that is done to you is going to shatter your area in at least one area of your life. But hopefully what people can cling on to is during that difficult time is all the other areas that they do feel strengths in. And then as our caller did in this woman he's speaking about, you know, begin to do some self-analysis like she did. It was great. She was able to figure out what was going on and take steps. She probably had to, you know, really go through that healing process and, you know, heal from the hurt and then realize that she was a complete and whole person herself with much to give. And it sounded about like by the time she met our caller that she had done that. And that's really terrific.
Well, she certainly did. She was a very powerful, very confident person. But, you know, even if you're not rejected in love, I think the point is still relevant that very often one reason why you might lack self-confidence is that you're not accepting some of the things, the shortcomings in yourself that you're so aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And accepting those and incorporating them into yourself, I think, is the confidence-building step.
And I think maybe what you're saying is I think sometimes we can be very kind people to other people, and we can look at them and think, you know, to a friend of ours and think, oh, they're so terrific, and we overlook their shortcomings because we love them, and we don't carry that self-love to ourselves, and we're critical about ourselves, and that's part of that process, I would imagine, giving yourself some grace.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. You know, it's about... When we talk about authenticity, it's not just, you know, being real and being honest and all of that, but it's also accepting that we are human and that, so by definition, we're not perfect. And
right.
As Kathy just said, we, you know, we love the people in our lives that we love their imperfections, you know, we love them as a whole human being. And so it's really our birthright to be able to love ourselves as a whole human being and always try to be the best possible version of ourselves, but honest to who we are and authentic in that way, and appreciate, as Charissa had said, all of the things that we've accomplished and that, you know, that we are. Charissa, do you have anything to add?
Yes, well, first of all, I just wanted to thank our caller for dialing in and for having the courage to share that with us, because I think it's going to be such a good, important lesson and story that I know, you know, a lot of people would need to hear to give them some encouragement. But also I wanted to congratulate you for having that level of self-awareness and realizing and accepting yourself for who you are, and then using your friend as an example to be able to say, you know, she went through that, and that helps me now to look at it and evaluate and build my own self-confidence. So congratulations for that, because that's not an easy thing, not an easy thing to do for sure. And then the other two things that I just wanted to add is that we all are built or born with a really deep need for significance and for love. And I think a lot of times that will drive our behavior. So if we do have this, I'll call it like a fear of failure, like we spoke about before. So whether that's in relationships, when things don't go our way, somebody rejects us, however we feel that failure, we oftentimes will just go immediately to try to fill that gap for significance and love. And in those moments is really where the self-awareness comes in, and we need to really stand firm in those moments and say, you know what, I am good enough. I have value to bring. And just because maybe this relationship didn't work out, or maybe I failed in some particular situation at work, whatever the case is, that does not define who I am. I'm much bigger than that. I have value. I have a deep sense of self-worth. And then you look at that as an opportunity for growth rather than failure. And actually, one other thing I wanted to add is, this is something that I heard at the Tony Robbins event the past weekend that I was at, and this really stuck with me, and I love it. And he said the only time you fail is when you stop trying. So failure is all about learning and growing and becoming more of who you were created to be versus, you know, like having it being a stumbling block and looking at it kind of in a negative light. So, yeah, I just love that. The only time you fail is when you stop trying.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I love that. And I have to just add that Charissa walked on fire this weekend with Tony Robbins. So hope you don't mind my saying that, Charissa.
Oh, you don't. Actually, Jen, I did not walk on fire this weekend because I'm going to another event.
I thought you were one of the ones who did. Excuse me.
No,
okay, so next time.
Next time I'm taking my kiddo with me, so I decided that she's going to be there when I do that.
Okay, well, maybe I'll get to be there with you. So
there you
to
go,
our caller,
yes.
I want to thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us. And, you know, I really can't expand on what my two co-hosts have said. Just thank you so much for your honesty and vulnerability and your contribution to the show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, okay. So, I'm going to say goodbye to you now, unless there's anything else you have to add.
Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you so much. I want to invite, again, any callers. We love having you join our show. The number is 646-716-9397. And again, thank you to our caller who just joined and added so much to our show. Thank you so much. So, you know, we're at that time where I think I'm going to go to our sponsor. We are very fortunate here at the Life Coach Radio Network to have as our sponsor Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products, which include more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. Receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com. audible.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And I just wanted to mention a few books, if anybody is interested on Audible, then these are on confidence. The first one is Mastering Self-Confidence with NLP by Kerry Johnson. The second is Maximum Confidence, 10 Steps to Extreme Self-Esteem by Jack Canfield. The third is Unconditional Confidence by Pema Chodron. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but she is a leader in a lot of this self-help and confidence work. And then the last is The Confidence Gap, A Guide to Overcoming Fear and Self-Doubt by Russ Harris and Stephen Hayes, Ph.D. So now we're going to go back to the show, and I see we have another caller. So I'm going to join our caller into the show, and your number ends in 0203. Hello, caller.
Hello, this is Carlos Figueredo.
Hi, Carlos. How are you?
I am just fine. Thank you, Jan. It's wonderful to hear you and your co-hosts. And I just simply have one little thing that I want to add. You were talking about confidence. I think it was actually Kathy who was talking about the differences between self-esteem and confidence. And I believe she said that the more you act, the more confidence you get. And while that is, I agree 100% with that, I also like to add the fact that it's not just acting, but it's having the experience of what is happening. What I mean by that is, as you know, Jan, I had a brain tumor, and about 35 years ago, it's taken me this long to do many, many things. I'm not quite there with my professional life. And the reason for that is because I have been acting quite a bit, and I'm talking about singing, getting in front of people and things like that. And as you know, having the experience of what happens, what you need to do when something does not go exactly as you wish for it to go, that is one of the main problem in not having confidence in yourself. I have plenty of self-worth and know that I can do it, but when I get in front of people, as you know, well, we all right now are in front of some people, our adrenaline levels go high, and they can work for you. They can also work against you. So this whole speech that I'm giving is just simply saying, I agree with what you're saying, but I think part of confidence is also not just acting, but knowing how to react because you have the experience of doing something.
Carlos, this is Kathy, and could I ask you a question so maybe you could clarify it for me? Because from what I understand, you've said, and I actually know of you through Jen, so I know that you were incredibly talented, and I'm sure you'll be bringing that forth again in the future. I share that in a small degree that I wasn't as talented as you, but I was a music major. I did perform. I did that for many years, and so I have an idea of what you might be talking about, and perhaps I'm wondering if you're talking about more about nerves and learning to control them, because if you know that you have the ability back from your injury and you have, you know, lots and lots of training and lots of years of performing in front of people, because I think I don't know. I mean, I never reached the level that, you know, a top performer would have, but I've heard even some of these top performers still get nervous before they go on stage, and to me that seems kind of normal, and if you've been a performer as you have been and I have been, we all know that it's normal to make mistakes. And the biggest part of being a live performer is learning how to recover from them. I mean, we see people do this in sports too. And the people that we clap for the most are the people that get up, dust themselves, and move on. And you can see that, you know, it's so easy to let that wrong note or that missed fingering or that tripped toe in the ice, then mentally cloud the entire rest of your performance. But a real performer is able to move past that, figure out how to do that, and then keep going. So is it nerves you're talking about, or is it something else?
Well, in a way, it is nerves. But I have to add one more level to this, which may not actually be part of your conversation on confidence today, since we're talking to a broad audience. As a person that has had a trauma to my brain, I've lost quite a bit. And I'm sure you and everybody else has thought about thinking quickly on your toes. That doesn't happen anymore. That only happens to me when I've had experience and I said, I got in front of an audience and I made a mistake and my brain went into convulsions. What do I do now? So that's part of that is nerve. But the what do I do now only comes after I have acted, made the mistake, and had the experience of how I fix it without letting people know that I've made a mistake. And to tell you the truth, as you will know as a musician, sometimes we go, oh, shoot, that note wasn't quite exactly what I wanted it to be.
Right.
Most people in the audience don't know unless it's something that everybody has heard a million times.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm talking a little bit about nerves. But I should have perhaps started with that. In my own specific problem, as a survivor of a brain tumor and having lost quite a bit as far as this area of performing, I find that having had experience on it, on whatever it is that I'm doing, helps me a lot. Let me change the problem here for a second. One of the things that I did, like Jan herself, I lost the ability to walk. One of the residuals of this brain tumor, which is not unusual from the type of brain tumor that I had, is vision problems. I not only have double vision, but my vision will never, ever be corrected, no matter how thick my glasses are, to 20/20. I always see in kind of like a little bit of a daze, and therefore, because of the way I see, sometimes I myself feel like I'm in a daze, and things may not be 100% real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All that was said because years and years ago, I'm one of these people who kind of, I don't know what the word is, but I don't like to sit around waiting for someone to do something for me. So I decided, well, you know what? I live in Chicago. I live in the north part of Chicago. And at one point I said, I want to go downtown Chicago because there are people in downtown Chicago that I want to go see. Well, that included taking the train up and down stairs, lots of traffic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Until I did that, I was not able to, and I succeeded. Obviously, I'm talking to you. I wasn't run over by a car or anything like that. So until I did that, I was not able to actually say, you know what? I can actually do this. My life started getting bigger and bigger instead of just being in a room waiting for someone to be nice enough to take me here or take me there. No, I decided I did this, and I know that I'm not going to fall through the cracks in the train onto the actual train rails and things like that. So at that point, I thought, oh, gee, well, let's just do it again. Let's go someplace else. And I did go someplace else. And, of course, we all know and that a lot of individuals who had this brain situation, experience is what really helps you. I was not able to, you know, at one point I would start filling up a glass to drink water. And my brain did not know. Well, you know what? When you get to the top, you kind of stop. Otherwise, the water is going to go all over.
I'm
all over the place. I understand that. So, but my point here is, it's not just nerves. I think it's not just acting. It's acting and knowing how to react to any mistake or problem that could have happened. Not just in singing, but confidence is in everything. How confident, you know, I'm sure you've heard and you know, maybe you've helped yourself, some people who are going to have an interview. Well, many people go through rehearsal after rehearsal after rehearsal of the things that might be asked of them and how to answer and what to do with your body language and things like that. All that, to me, is experience, I think.
Well, you know, that's so interesting what you've brought up, Carlos, because you are talking about, you first mentioned that self-esteem, you have self-esteem, and you're talking about, though, not having necessarily confidence in your abilities based on a disability that you've experienced, so that taking some actions, and, you know, albeit it's not it's definitely not the lifestyle you had before the surgery and before all of this happened. And so you now have a disability, and then working around that, so working around getting the experience, which, you know, at doing certain things again, builds confidence, taking certain actions, even though you have to take them in somewhat like baby steps. This is nothing, you know, this is very different from when you used to travel the world and sing at a very early age, sing on, you know, on opera and concert stages. So it's how to build your confidence again after a disability, or for someone who has disabilities. Am I correct in
Yeah, you are very correct. And I thought about calling because it's the subject may not be exactly for everyone, but we all know that some of us who have gone through these losses, we all know how much people take for granted, and having confidence is definitely, for some people, just being able to do it. But I think that for a lot of people, it's also having the experience at a lower level and being able to control your abilities so that your confidence is built upon experience and acting. And it's just a thought that I thought when I heard the word. Well, the more we act, the more confidence we get. Some of us, yes, definitely.
Thank you so much. You added such a great dimension to this call, I mean, to the show. I really love it. Charissa, we haven't heard from you because, you know, Carlos has added so much to the topic today. And there are so many people out there that have things going on that affect their confidence, you know, certain illnesses or things that have accidents, whatever. So this definitely is absolutely apropos to this call, to this show today. So I'm sorry, Charissa.
Sure. Well, Carla, thank you so much for calling, and I know you're going to help so many people just by sharing that story and by giving us your perspective. And also, I want to applaud you for your incredible ability to overcome those huge challenges that you've had to face. And the other thing I also wanted to say is thank you so much for giving us such a perfect example of what Kathy was talking about earlier, when that is building your confidence muscle. With the story you just told about taking the train to downtown Chicago, that is just a perfect example of how taking those steps, even though, you know, there could be fear and anxiety at first because it's something new and you're not sure what to expect, but you went ahead and did that, and in doing so, you were able to build that confidence muscle, and then once you were able to achieve what you set out to, then it made you more confident to be able to take on the next challenge. And it's like, oh, if I could do that, then surely I can do the next thing. And you keep going. And the more you do that, the more confident you become. So that was beautiful. I love that you share that with us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thing?
Oh,
Jan?
Please do. Yes, of course.
Yeah, this is Kathy. I just wanted to say to Carlos, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. And I know for the sake of time, you didn't go into, you know, nearly as much as you could, but the bit of details that you put in there were incredible. And, you know, I think that when you gave the story of how you, you know, did this whole trip into the city and went on the subway and each stop that you had to do, if I was seeing your life made into a movie, I mean, I think that's the moment where everybody stands up and cheers because you have overcome such huge odds. And I think that your background from having to have all the self-esteem and the hours and hours and hours you trained and then the nerves to get up for your first times and perform and all those things that you did in your prior life have still come out and served you so that you had the guts, the determination, the persistence to do this after your injury, which, again, as Sarissa just said, then you re-exercise that muscle. And I think, I mean, no matter how much excellence and how wonderful you were at your career before, to me, I think this was even a bigger accomplishment that you could do that and all the things you've done after your recovery, and you're still continuing to do it.
Thank you.
Carlos, are any of your recordings on YouTube or anything? Is there anything online?
You know what, Jan? The career was so short. There was no time. As we have spoken about this before, mm-hmm. So no, the answer is no. I was starting to do some stuff, some worthy stuff. And no doubt, had I gone a little further, there would be, but there isn't. I am going to make a recording, and I am going to put it, soon. But that too is a little step that requires a lot of thinking and a lot of, because once you put something on recording and you actually put it on the, I mean, that can work for you. For or against you. I don't know if I want to put it on the web yet.
Well, if anybody ever has an opportunity to hear Carlos Figueredo sing, it's, I mean, a brilliant tenor voice. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got out there and got to Europe and was singing before any of us. So, and, you know, a lot of us were singing early, but he was just brilliant, brilliant. So I hope you find something. You might have something on tape that you could transfer. You know, remember, I don't know if anybody out there is old enough to remember tape, but you might have something. I would imagine you might have something on tape that you
Actually, someone, and I would have to, and again, this is part of, I'd say someone because I have absolutely no idea who that was, made a tiny little recording of, a live recording of, like, part of the magic flute. If I find it, I think I actually have it. If I find it, I will. We're talking about probably tape that sounds like Enrico Caruso, when, you know, all that scratch and stuff. Not the voice itself, I wish. But if I find that, so I know there are some stuff like that. But anyway, thank you for the nice words.
Oh, thank you so much for calling, Carlos. And I am going to have Carlos on my solo show, which is Your Best Life. I'm going to have Carlos as my interview guest in possibly, I'm hoping, October. So I will let everybody know when that time is coming up. He's really an amazing and fascinating person and an inspiration to everybody. So, Carlos, thank you so much for your call today. We all so appreciate it and appreciate your honesty and your openness and sharing with us.
Thank you.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And amazingly, everybody, first of all, I want to thank Carlos for calling in. We have another caller, so they've been online waiting, and I'd like to get them in. Hello, caller. Your number ends in 1139. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, caller. Hi.
Hello? Hi.
Yes. Hi. I think I know who this is. Can I say?
Oh,
do you want to say?
I would... I would love to say who this is. This is
okay.
Tracy Byers. I'm calling from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'm so excited to see that Charissa is actually having a talk here in Dallas. That's exciting. I definitely plan to look into more of that. I have a different perspective on confidence and would love to share with the three callers. So thank you for taking my call. And just get your input and see what your thoughts are on this. I'm a nurse, a registered nurse. I'm very seasoned. I've worked several years with mothers and babies. And my comment is that the younger generation of women, let's say maybe the 20s, young 30-something, seem to have a overabundance of confidence. And I know earlier in the call, someone was saying, you know, that sometimes a lot of confidence comes across as arrogance or maybe like, you know, I know everything. But in my career, it takes a lot of time to get a level of confidence when you work with probably in any field. My specialty is maternal newborn. And the younger nurses don't seem to want to come to the seasoned nurses and ask questions like I did when I was their age. I wanted to learn everything, and so I would go to the older nurses that had more experience and ask them just gobs and gobs of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to share with the younger generation when you do have a lot of experience and confidence. So my question is, what do your host feel about that younger generation having an overabundance of confidence in areas that really do require some level of learning and experience and asking, not only in nursing, but probably in many other areas? And my second question is, how do you go about introducing or explaining or educating or talking with the level of confidence that these younger people have? And I work with women, so it's more of a woman perspective.
Well, thank you, first of all, Tracy, for your call and your questions. I love them, and I'm so delighted that you've called in. Both Kathy and I know Tracy, and so if Kathy, if you don't mind, I'd love to first throw these questions to Charissa, if that's
mm-hmm.
okay. Charissa?
Yes. Hi, Tracy, and I'm so excited that you're in the area. I would love to meet you on August 8th. But thank you so much again for calling in, and thank you for that perspective. You know, I know it's not an easy field that you're in, for sure, and I really admire your ability to want to reach out and help the younger generation. So two things that stood out for me when you were just talking about the fact that, you know, when you first started out, you were so hungry to learn, and you wanted to, of course, be the best that you could be, and learning, and by doing that, then you could, of course, assist your patients in a better way. And I think for the younger generation, the two things that were coming up when you mentioned how they kind of tend to hold back maybe, and they don't seem as hungry for that information like you were. And there's two things that I think could maybe contribute to this. One is fear. Fear for, you know, if they ask a particular question, then they, you know, people are going to perceive them as not knowing what they should know. And I say this because I've experienced this in my career as well, especially when I was starting out. I was very shy and extremely introverted, and I didn't want to step up and answer questions because I was afraid that people would look at me and think that I should already know the answer. So, you know, the fear of, the insecurities and all of those things coming up. And then the second thing I wanted to bring up is what I think you had mentioned, the word arrogance as well. And we touched on this briefly, but the confidence, really, there's a couple of different things here, but and I think we're still going to be talking a little bit about this. In terms of arrogance versus confidence, the way I like to think about it is actually from a book called The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama and Howard Cutler. And what the Dalai Lama says is that in the set of confidence, it's really when you want to be your best self and you're confident in your abilities, but with the, because you want to be able to serve others and be of service, versus arrogance, which is thinking a lot of yourself, but for your own gain rather than for others. So for serving yourself versus serving others. So I just wanted to throw out that differentiation between the two. So in that case, it could be either fear that they're not stepping up and asking those questions, and or it could be arrogance where they feel like, I already know the stuff. Why should I ask? And it is challenging because at the end of the day, they have to want to learn, and they need to come to the table to be able to ask those questions and to absorb the information so that they can then become better at their profession. So I know you're not in an easy position, but I thank you so much for the work that you do because it's so incredibly important. And I think just you being an example for them in itself is going to go a long way in helping them become better.
Wow, thank you. That was excellent.
Kathy, do you have something to add? I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Certainly, I share Tracy's exact situation when I was younger and entering a field. I also sought out the older, experienced people because I figured who else could teach me. Because you can learn things in school, but we all know what you learn in school isn't what really happens on the job. It's a totally different thing. And I wanted to find out the people that were really on the job and, the ins and outs. And so that's who I hooked up with. And I have noticed the same thing that Tracy has brought up. And I think, I certainly don't want to indict an entire generation of people, so let's call it a subset of people, because you certainly can't ever take a group of people and say everyone's like this. But there's a subset mm-hmm. of younger people that they kind of grew up with the generation that I think there was a societal shift that said, it's difficult for children to handle rejection, failure of any sort, or to be placed in rankings or anything like that. And so, I noticed that in my community and many others as I read the news that, so instead of keeping score at games or things like this, everybody would get a trophy. And, I don't think that serves, that generation well, because that's not at all how real life happens. Real life has people that get the job and more people that don't. And so it didn't serve well because we all have to fail sometimes and win sometimes, and we all grow through each one of those experiences. And we actually usually grow more through our failures than we do through our successes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I think that generation, some of those people have missed those experiences. And, I think the humbleness that can come with, coming in second place and it being a really rough, really close. And it was, we've all seen those kind of experiences where you're like feeling so bad for the person that didn't get first place because it was so close, but it was excellent to watch or whatever. And there's a humbleness to be gained from that and things to be learned. And I think it pushes you to be better, as I'm sure Jan and Carlos would have known being in music. And, that's how it is. We're always pushing ourselves to be better. And so that maybe they've lost that. And I think that, with you being the older nurse now and having to deal with these people, I think Charissa said it. I mean, first of all, they do have to come to the table and want to learn. So none of us can force people to learn. But hopefully a nurse is such a vital life skill. I mean, people's lives are in a nurse's hands sometimes, and she's the first person on the scene many times to recognize when there's a real true emergency. And so a nurse is a highly important job, and you hope that somebody doesn't have such arrogance that they make a life-threatening mistake. And so hopefully because they're going to make mistakes if they don't learn from somebody. And so hopefully they make minor mistakes and then can start that little bit of humbleness of spirit and to say, maybe there is someone here that can teach me, but I don't think you can lead a horse to water, so to speak. So hopefully mm-hmm. you're working with people that will, through your patience, your gentleness, and your kind of loving spirit and approaching them in a way I know you have with questions, hopefully that will serve as an example to them that, this lady does seem to have a lot of knowledge that I would like to have. So.
You know,
yeah,
you brought
great.
up, You brought up a topic, Tracy, that actually we were wanting to discuss, and I'd like to take this a little bit further, again, asking my co-hosts, if you would like to stay on the call, Tracy, and, you know, make any comments if you'd like. You are welcome to. Would you like to stay on the call a little bit and maybe add something in if you're interested?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. So I want to ask everybody, because we started talking about this and the show was about confidence and its imposters. So what is the difference between confidence, arrogance, narcissism, and even imposter syndrome, you know, people putting on masks? Because, you know, we've all, especially as coaches, we've all heard, you know, kind of fake it till you make it, or you just hear it out in the world, or act as if. So that can be, you know, kind of, if you're not practicing authenticity, it can kind of be imposter syndrome. So it's a matter of, you know, acting as if is being authentic, but choosing to act according to your values, and it may not be a comfortable fit right now because you may have some fears and whatever around something. But then again, in a lot of things that we hear on, well, I just listen to the radio, I don't have TV, but things that we hear on, say, NPR or, you know, public radio or public TV or articles that we read, they're talking often about how narcissism has almost become a virtue in today's society, and how it can be confusing for young people, especially the difference between narcissism and confidence. So, and where does modesty fit into this whole picture? And is it even possible to be humble and both confident at the same time? Where does one draw the line between confidence, arrogance, and narcissism? And how does ego fit into this whole picture? So I guess my first question here would be, is there such a thing as too much confidence? And who would like to respond to that?
Go ahead, Charissa.
Okay, well, Jenna, I'll go back again to the what I was talking about from the book of The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama and Howard Cutler to answer your question. And that is that the your confidence is a belief that you can succeed at something with the intention of helping others and not being self-serving. So that it's not about you, but how you can best be of service to other people. And I think that also ties in with, you know, the narcissism and all of those other sometimes negative qualities that are associated with confidence. But I think if we're being authentic and coming at it from a place of, if we're confident in our abilities with the thought to be able to help others and be of service in a humble, you know, from a humble standpoint, in other words, we're not looking at it so that it can boost our own ego, but rather looking at it as, in terms of, if I don't step into the space of confidence and have faith in my own ability, then I'm not going to be able to give of myself to others and help in the way that I'm supposed to. So I think for me, that's the big differentiation between being confident and being arrogant and being more in your ego. Is what is the intention? Is the intention to boost yourself, or is the intention to help others?
Oh, I love that. So it brought up two things. First of all, you're dealing with things from a place of love, not just self-love, but loving other people. And the second thing is that you have to have confidence and you have to have self-love in order to do this, so that there's not all this fear wrapped up in it. And it's kind of like when you're on a plane, we all know this, that in order to help other people, including your children, an infant, you have to first place the oxygen mask on yourself. So it's the same sort of thing with confidence versus narcissism or ego or all the, you know, these other negative derivatives that can be confused with confidence. Those are really about serving oneself. And the other is about being able to spread love and serve from a place of love other people. First, we have to love ourselves and have confidence. But I love the way that you put that, Charissa, and I hope I kind of summed that up or got some clarity for myself around it. No, thank you. I'm sorry?
No, I said you did sum that up perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So who else wants to add to that or maybe have something to say about the difference between confidence, arrogance, and narcissism?
Well, this is Kathy, and Tracy called very providentially, didn't she, because this is the next topic we were going to talk about, and we've had so many wonderful callers, we haven't even got to it. So I will keep my comments brief because, you know, we don't have a lot of time, but because we could do a whole other show on this now. But if we think of confidence like in a timeline, you know, and healthy confidence in the middle, we could have, on the left, we could have a low amount of self-confidence, and on the far right, we would have a confidence that's blown over into arrogance. And I totally agree with how Charissa summed it up. I found this wonderful quote that kind of summed it up for me from Lisa Bailey, a licensed clinical psychologist from Marietta, Georgia. She said, both the confident and arrogant person, so we have two different people, the confident and the arrogant, they're both aware of the personal areas of strength and ability. However, a confident person has little difficulty seeing others' gifts and strengths, while the arrogant cannot. So again, once again, it's all about them. And you know, just to keep this brief, so if you are kind of a person that's wondering if you're on the right side of the timeline there, so to speak, between healthy confidence or are people perceiving me to be arrogant, these are some things you can consider if they are behaviors that you have. Do you interrupt people? Do you give lengthy thoughts in situations where, as the junior person in the room, you should be brief or silent? Do you consider some work to be beneath you? And I'm sure Tracy has much she could say on any of those things that she's seen. But if you are a person that you've noticed some of those behaviors in yourself, you may be being looked at as arrogant by other people. And if that is something that's of concern to you, because that really isn't where your heart is, those are behaviors that are certainly modifiable, and so that your true heart and true nature can come through to others.
Oh, I love that. That is great information, because sometimes people aren't aware. I know I'm sometimes guilty of some of that stuff, and it's not necessarily my intention. So it's really great that we become, again, more self-aware. Thank you so much for that, Kathy.
You're
Tracy, would you like to add anything? You don't feel pressured, please, but if there's anything you'd like to add. And again, thank you so much for bringing up this topic.
Well, the only thing that really, there were a lot of things that you all said that was very important, and definitely I will take with me as we end this call and go forth with my work. But I think what Charissa talked about, fear, I never really thought of, like, younger people in their new careers. My first thought was the cockiness or the arrogance over the fear, because they're very good at hiding. These particular people hide the fear very well. So that is something that I'm definitely going to take into consideration and maybe stage my talk or my actions or my responses in a different way that might help one overcome some of the fears as being a young and new nurse. So I really appreciate that, Charissa.
Oh, no problem, Tracy. I'm glad that helped.
This has been such a great show today. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe we're already, like, over the hour. So it's been really a wonderful and informative show. And we are out of time. So I'd really like to thank my talented, talented co-hosts, Kathy Aquino and Charissa Sebastian, as well as our amazing callers today, Michael, Carlos, and Tracy, who is still on with us. And I'd just like to remind our listeners that confidence and humility walk hand in hand with a great assist from acceptance, both of ourselves, those around us, and life in general. It's considered a spiritual quality and not to be confused with narcissism or arrogance. Confidence allows us to love ourselves and others. Its imposters, narcissism and arrogance, do not. I'm Jan Jaffe of Forward to Success, and it has been my privilege today to have been your host. I would like to offer our listeners a free 30-minute discovery session. And for more information, you can email me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at forwardtosuccess.com. And I also want to remind our listeners that you are invited to share any comments or feedback on our website, which is http colon www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. I have my own solo show, Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe, on the second Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern on this, the Life Coach Radio Network. On my show, on my solo show, I interview fascinating guests on many topics from all walks of life. And I would be delighted if you would tune in at noon Eastern on Wednesday, August 12th. And also this show, Think Tank, with my co-hosts, is on the fourth Wednesday of every month on this same station, also at 12 noon Eastern. And now I'd like to ask my co-host to share any closing thoughts and contact information. Kathy, how about you?
Thank you, Jan. Yeah, just because we've gone real over, I'm not going to share the original thoughts I had, but I just want to let all of our callers know, our listeners and the people still on the line with me, my co-host and Tracy, this has been a great show. I've really enjoyed it. The energy has been great. The ideas, the sharing, it's been terrific. I appreciate it very much. I know it's uplifted my day. And I can be reached. All my contact information can be found at www.courtoled.com. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. And Sharissa, how about you? Any closing thoughts or contact information you'd like to share?
Yes, well, first of all, thank you so much, Jan, for having me on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure being with you and Kathy today. And thank you also to Tracy, Carlos, and our first caller who've just really opened my eyes to great perspectives, and it was just great discussion and conversation. So thank you all so much for that. I'd actually like to close with a quote on confidence, and that is that confidence is something that you create within yourself by believing in who you are. And the author of this is unknown. But the other thing I wanted to just quickly add is that my website again is www.sharissasebastian.com, and then the website for the retreats is stopsmilebreathe.com. And again, the next retreat is coming up on August 8th in the Dallas area. And if you bring three friends to the event, you get your ticket free. So Tracy, I hope you're able to make it. I would love to see you out there. And thank you again so much, ladies. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. And I also just want to remind our listeners, if you were unable to write down any of the contact information, there is contact information for all of us on the show information. When you click on the link, if you scroll down, there are our bios and contact information for all of us. So I just want to take a quick moment to announce a few of our upcoming shows. On this, the Life Coach Radio Network, on July 25th at 10 a.m., Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, Renee Ellison. On July 28th, at 5 p.m., Influential Connections with Amina, Re-envisioning the American Dream. On August 2nd at 9 p.m., Mark My Words with Certified Coach Mark Schall. And on August 12th at 12 noon, Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe. I'll be interviewing Gina Costa. And on our sister network, the Life Coach Chat Channel, on July 22nd at 2 p.m., Do What You Love, Love What You Do, How to Live with Purpose and Passion. On July 29th at 12 noon, Do You, Be You, How to Live More by Doing Less. On August 4th at 7 p.m., Transform Your Life with Coach Tamara, Secret Sauce to the Website of Your Dreams. And on August 7th at 12 noon, Business Lunch with Michael O'Brien. And on our other sister network, International Life Coach Radio, July 23rd at 7 p.m., Bring Back the Joy, Boundaries Required. July 24th at 12 noon, Untamed Series, live broadcast from Spain along the Camino de Santiago. I want to again thank my two wonderful co-hosts, Sharissa Sebastian and Kathy Aquino, and our callers, Tracy, Carlos, and Michael, for joining me today and making this show a special one. Thank you all so much for listening. Goodbye.